Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Blaze Radio Network.
And now, the Rabbi Daniel Appin Show.
The more the world changes, the more we find comfort in the things that never change. Never change. This is Rabbi Daniel Appin on demand on the Blaze Radio Network.
Would you like to do the really
no,
when
you,
we get to that part
no,
of it?
You do that because I don't know how to really. Okay.
Well, that wasn't bad.
All right.
So do you want to do that part
okay.
or are you going to give that a try?
All right.
All right. Welcome to the Rabbi Daniel Appin Show, the only show on the entire internet on which your rabbi reveals how the world
really
works. Very good. And that is to introduce Mrs. Susan Lappin, an integral part of the entire operation, but only an occasional guest on the podcast.
It's been a long time, actually.
It's been a bit of much too long, if you ask me.
It's been quite a while.
Yeah, it's really much too long. Well, I'm delighted, as always, to spend time together with you. And we just did. We just took 2 days away.
That was
far
fun.
Away.
Well,
it wasn't that far.
It was a drive.
It was a two-hour drive, that's all.
Yeah,
but it was
felt like a different world.
Yeah, it really did. It was quite lovely. Where did we find ourselves? We found ourselves on the eastern shore.
We didn't actually find ourselves. We went deliberately. It wasn't like, whoops, look what happened.
Right. Today's show.
I thought you were going to say what we were doing on the eastern shore.
We didn't do anything. We kayaked and we hiked and we looked at the water and we reveled
listened
to
the
sounds
quiet.
Of silence.
Yes, that was the best.
Yeah, it was very... I hadn't realized just how noisy our lives are.
Neither had I, till the absence of the noise.
So there's no question about it that a good part of the noise we're feeling is from the construction going on near us. And I've spoken about this on previous shows, how torn I am between
yes.
on the one hand being amazed.
I sometimes can't tear my eyes away because it's such a pleasure to watch people do something competently and with alacrity. And really, it's fascinating to watch how this is going up. But it's, on the other hand,
it's very noisy.
Noisy, and they're taking away our view. They took away yes. our view.
Yeah, right. But anyways, here we are, Susan.
Yes.
Here's the show. We've got a guy who is a therapist. He's a West Coast therapist in Portland, and he's got a lot of response to a list of 7 things that can help you determine if you are with the right person in a good relationship. That's his idea.
One question I always like asking is he in a good relationship, and how long has he been in a good relationship? I think one of the things that we used to get amazed was about the marriage therapist who'd been divorced 3 times.
Yes.
And I go, you know, maybe you need to learn a little more before you give advice.
You'd think, right? Now, why is that different from a financial advisor who's not a multimillionaire? Why is that okay?
Well, I think a financial advisor who makes very bad investments and has been bankrupt many times would be a problem. I don't know that being a multimillionaire is a requirement for managing someone's money.
That's right. But a marriage therapist who's been married and divorced several times, obviously not being able to sustain a durable marriage, probably a bad guide for the field.
Certainly one can ask a question.
Right. So here is what he sounds like. And when we finished hearing it, it's all of 40 seconds or so, I will read them. I'll give them to you one at a time. And then I would like you all to spend a moment thinking about what's wrong with each one. And then you will hear Mrs. Lappin and I discussing them. Is that going to work out for you?
So ask yourself the following. One, how do they treat you? Are they nice, kind, sweet, and caring? Or are they bullies that are mean and make fun of you? Two, do you feel safe and secure enough to be your authentic self? Or are you only showing certain parts of yourself and hiding others? Why are you doing that? Three, are your hopes and dreams and future goals being supported? Because this is a major part of a healthy relationship. Four, do you feel like your emotional needs are being met? Do you feel seen, understood, and supported? Or are you holding things back because they don't know how to show up for you? Five, are you able to say no and create boundaries without being made to feel guilty or selfish? Six, are you ever being coerced or forced to do something you're not consenting to? Even if you're in a relationship, enthusiastic consent is still required. Seven, after an argument, are you able to repair, reconnect, and feel resolved? Or are you left feeling emotionally battered and exhausted?
Okay, good. Well, there it is. You heard it. And here is the first one. The first one is, how do they treat you? Are they nice, kind, sweet, and caring, or are they bullies who are meat to make fun of you? Susan, my first reaction to that, and let me just say it again. How do they treat you? Are they mean? Are they nice, kind, sweet, and caring, or are they bullies who are mean and make fun of you?
When is the last time you hit your wife?
That's right. Yeah, this is a false dichotomy. Those two aren't opposites.
No,
this is
not
like,
at all.
Did you have carrots for dinner or did you drive a diesel locomotive? These things have nothing to do. How do they treat you? Are they nice, kind, sweet, and caring, or are they bullies? That's not the opposite. People may not be nice, kind, sweet, and caring all the time, but that doesn't mean that they're bullies either. And so it's
beyond that. When you say, are they, look, it is wonderful. First of all, can I just mention, because when he was, I didn't hear the word spouse or wife or husband,
okay,
or marriage.
In terms of the overall problem with this, and what we're trying to do is help our listeners develop critical skills so that when you hear distinguished and famous family therapist in Portland who got 2 million hits on Instagram, that doesn't mean that what he's saying is true, helpful, accurate, or valuable. And so we're just going to analyze it together with you. So one of the overall problems with the whole thing is that he uses the word relationship. Now, I'm going to say something, and I've thought about whether to say this or not, because in a way it's a sort of deep reach. I'm asking our listeners to come along for a very scary ride. This is like a very scary roller coaster. That's not the first thing you take your Aunt Sadie on when you take her to the amusement park.
Well, I know how you normally like massaging people with warm butter, but we'll make an exception this time.
Yes. So let me clarify. There are exactly four types of relationships between men and women. Let me say that again. There are four types of relationships between men and women. There's mother-son, that's one. Father-daughter, that's two. Brother-sister, that's three. Husband and wife, that is four. That's it. And so this idea that you can just use the word relationship to define an airy sort of floating, unclear, non-specific relationship between a man and... No, there isn't such a thing. Boyfriend and girlfriend, sorry, that's not a relationship. It's exploitative of the man for the woman. That's what it is. It's certainly exploitative, but it's not a relationship. And so it is with any other variation. There are four types of relationships. and we are talking about marriage. That's it. Now, that doesn't show up at all in this particular therapist's conversation.
I need you to, I get what you're saying, but in other words, if he would have said, instead of using the word partner and using the word, if he would have said, here are seven things you should look at as you decide whether to get married to somebody. Yes. So you're saying they're not in a relationship.
They're not in a relationship. Courting is not a relationship.
Okay.
Yeah. Boyfriend, girlfriend is certainly not. But that's right. They don't make the mistake of thinking relationship. And again, it'll take more time than it's worth, but I can go into the semantic discussion of what's wrong with the word relationship, why it does not apply to somebody who says we're boyfriend and girlfriend, or we're
you're not saying together. You should meet the person you want to marry under the marriage canopy.
No.
Your parents should pick for you.
No, of
and
course not.
You're saying you do are getting to know somebody.
Yes, but that you're not in a relationship while that's happening.
Until you are married.
And so I know this is not something that is easily heard because we're so accustomed to that. But I think it's important that we tell the truth, and that is the truth. So our therapist thinks of marriage as merely one kind of many different kinds of male-female relationships. And that is simply not correct.
So the reason I started with that is because I want to marry somebody who is nice, who can be kind, a kind person, who can be sweet and caring. So, right, bullies is not the opposite of that. But beyond that, I don't want them to always act nice, kind, sweet, and caring. I want, as a woman, I want a certain amount of strength. And quite frankly, even as a man, it may be a different type of strength that you want. But a lot of times people make the mistake of interpreting sweet and kind and saying, well, that's really lovely. And it is lovely. Look, we thought very kindly on young men who were courting our daughters when they showed up, when one of them drove for a few hours to meet her at the airport so she would not be getting off a plane at 1 a.m. and having to take a cab.
Exactly.
That was a kind, sweet,
but
and caring
activity.
But that
same guy who she ended up marrying also displayed
strength
and determination.
Right, so
and
it's
grit.
Not bullies. And a lot
I don't know if you noticed my show notes, number one. Remember, see what I said?
Which
is exactly another mistake our therapist is making here is he's not distinguishing between man and woman. He's treating them exactly the same. And it is true that one of the most important characteristics that a man looks for, or a man should look for in a woman he's marrying, is agreeableness. Somebody who is not constantly picking fights or arguing or debating.
Well, I would not look for somebody who picks fights. Sorry,
no.
As a woman, I wouldn't look for somebody who picks fights either.
No, that is true. But the values of strength and determination are more valued by a woman in a man than by a man in a woman.
I'm going to suggest that they may be different types of strength. And I know we certainly both know women who marry the sweetest, sweetest, sweetest guy and get very frustrated after the marriage when he's not able to stand up for himself in the office, or
yes,
he's not able to,
or with her, by the way,
or with her. But
yes,
and I would say that a man also, in other words, quite frankly, if we're talking marriage, and in our view, marriage implies children, or certainly attempting to have children, and I don't think that I think a man wants a woman who can act like the adult in the relationship. Not that she and the 3-year-old are the same, because she's so nice, she can't bear to see the 3-year-old cry. And so I think there's strength in both directions. It may be a different type of strength, but I don't think anybody wants to be married to somebody spineless.
Correct.
And I think the women's movement has pushed women to really look for a demasculated male.
Yes.
Emasculated? Demasculated? I'm not
emasculated,
sure what the emasculated
yeah.
male.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, I think we've
covered
pretty
that.
Much
okay.
Dealt with item one. But again, I'm pretty sure that our listeners would have picked up all of what was wrong with item one.
Okay.
Let's listen to item two. Do you feel safe and secure enough to be your authentic self Or are you only sharing certain parts of yourself and hiding others? Why are you doing that? Okay. Happy warriors. Listen. You are a happy warrior. That means there is no such thing as your authentic self. Because that which is your authentic self is true only for the instant in the present. My authentic self is not what it was 6 months ago and not what it'll be next week, because we are not cows or cats or camels or kangaroos. We are human beings. And that means that we are capable of change, and not only capable of change, almost inevitably we will change. And that means that you and I have the choice. We either grow and become better people, or we deteriorate and become worse people. But the idea that you are who you are. And by the way, we did a podcast about a year ago or so, saying that, talking about how fatal it is for a person to think of himself as a fully formed person and that's who he is. No, we're not. And so the language that this therapist used, do you feel safe and secure enough to be your authentic self?
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
What are you talking about? And
I just think a part of the reason you marry the person you marry is because they will help you to grow. In other words, you don't want to marry someone and say, who says, I never want you to change. You're wonderful just the way you are. I hope you never change anything about you, because part of marriage is growth.
And that is one of the reasons why scripture prohibits homosexual relationships. Because you're not supposed to marry someone who's so close to you and so much like you that everything you do is fine. It's one of the reasons that we're not allowed to marry our sisters, even though it might have all kinds of advantages other than genetic. So, yes, the idea is you definitely look to marriage to bring about growth. And
there's also a courtesy to another person. And yes, I mean, you don't want to be on edge around someone you're married to, but neither do you want to feel so safe and secure that you can actually be the slob that you might be if you were living by yourself.
That's right.
There still is a courtesy to look nice for your husband or wife. Now, that doesn't mean you're not, you want someone who can handle you having the stomach flu for sure, but that... you do push yourself a little more to say, okay, because there's another person in my life, I'm going to behave in certain ways that I wouldn't have to force myself to behave if I was all by myself.
You know, back when we were synagogue rabbis or rabbi, you may remember the case of the couple I introduced to one another. And when I spoke to her shortly thereafter, she said, Rabbi, I don't know what you were thinking. There's no way I would marry a person like that. I'm not even going to go out with him again. And I said, what's the problem? She said, he's got a foul mouth on him. She said, he speaks awfully. And I said, look, I've known him for nearly 2 years. I have never, ever heard him. She says it was constant vulgarities and obscenities. I couldn't believe my ears. And so I phoned him up and asked him to come by for a chat. He came by and I said, how was it? He said, well, I really liked her, but I got the impression we didn't click. I said, you got that impression? You're dead right. You didn't click big time. He said, what went wrong? I said, it's very simple. She told me something that boggled my mind. She told me that you had a foul mouth and that you could barely finish a sentence without a vulgarity or an obscenity. And he turned all colors of the rainbow, and he said, yeah, Rabbi, well, it's true, I did. And I said, what was the matter with you? I've never heard you talk like that. He says, Rabbi, in front of you, I don't talk like that. But I wanted her to know who the real me was. I didn't want to be there under false pretenses. And Rabbi, I have to tell you, when I'm not with you, that's kind of how I speak when I'm around my friends. And I didn't want to mislead her. So we had a big conversation about how marriage makes you grow.
That he wanted to bring his authentic self, or he wanted to become a better self.
Yeah, right, exactly. Also, I remember somebody once saying to me, I've been on my best behavior. You know, we've been dating for 6 months. We got engaged. We're getting married next week. And I just want to confirm, Rabbi, that I can get back to be my usual self. Like, when do I have to wait till the end of the honeymoon? Do I wait for the end of the first year? When can I resort to being myself? And of course, my answer was never.
Never.
Yeah, never going to happen. This is the new you, and you're only getting better and better from here onwards.
I think one of the things that's happening with probably the majority, if not all of these, is there's an element of truth. In other words, you don't want to be putting on a fake self, but neither is it your authentic self at the moment and saying, and that's all you're ever going to get. But there's an element of truth in all of these. In other words, where, yes, you certainly don't want to pretend. You don't want to be lying and pretending that you're something you're not, and there's no dream you're ever going to become, or that you don't want to become.
Yeah. No, exactly.
So there's an element of truth.
Well, there always is, even in wrong things, because
yes,
otherwise they get dismissed entirely.
Right.
I think that's an important point, that for the big lie to really work, it has to have some element of truth in it that helps people buy into it. And so let's see. You're only shooting someone with honey. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So I think we dealt with number two. Here's number three. Are your hopes and dreams and future goals being supported? And my show notes for that just has the word "your" capitalized.
You know, you'll remember this one. We had a woman who had got married. She'd been divorced actually for many years, and then she got married to a great guy. And she called me up once to discuss a place where they were, something she, I think, wanted to do, and he really didn't think it was a good idea. And she said to me, well, you know, I still have to be me. And I said, no, actually, you gave up being you. You now have a marriage. There's you, there's him, and there's the marriage. There are three pieces. And so you is one third of the equation, but whatever you do has to take into all three thirds into account. And that your, of course, in English can be a plural word or a singular word. And your hopes and dreams and future goals, quite well, you shouldn't marry someone unless you share future hopes, dreams, and goals.
And that's where he's wrong on that, because, again, he's talking about a relationship. And a relationship, well, right? Yeah, right. He's not talking about a marriage. In a marriage, there isn't such a thing as your hopes and dreams and my hopes and dreams, and we've got to help each other achieve each other's hopes and dreams.
The marriage's hopes and dreams.
As a marriage. Now, we may decide that for the marriage, it's important, you know, that that you do whatever, get your pilot's license. And we may decide that for the marriage, it's important for me to do whatever it is. But the idea that these are separate hopes and dreams. So let me just read it to you again what he said. Are your hopes and dreams and future goals being supported? It's all wrong. It doesn't make any sense.
Right. There is no marriage unless you share hopes, dreams, and future goals. That's one of the main things that makes a marriage.
Yeah, of course it is.
You know, you're working together.
Of course
and
it is.
And obviously life happens, and that means that things change. But it's still changing for the two of you. You may both have to recalibrate.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the first three of the seven. And what I want to do now is spend just a minute or two describing to people the new resource that you and I have just created, which is...
It's getting fantastic feedback. We're getting lovely emails coming in.
Well, tell folks all about it.
So it is called The Gathering Storm, and it is a video teaching where you teach and I'm behind the scenes. I work on graphics and on the script as well. And it covers the period leading up to the flood. So it talks about what exactly was happening. You know, it's a pretty serious thing to kind of destroy the world. But what was going on and what, you know, was God just in a fit of temper one day or what was happening? And it goes really up to the verses right before the storm starts, though it does jump at one point to after the storm, because there is one of the things that you bring and we bring to the table is the Hebrew. And when there is an unusual word in Hebrew and it appears in two different locations, you can't learn it. You can't read the first verse without jumping ahead. And there is one of those instances where the exact same words that appear right before the storm
is the timing, Susan, in that, you know, if we were teaching this in the 1960s or 1950s, 1950s.
It would have been very hard for me to be teaching it then, but okay.
Yes. Susan never misses an opportunity to point out.
Well, it would have been hard for you to be teaching as well in the 1950s.
I'm considerably older than you. And people have often asked, why didn't I get married sooner after my arrival in the United States? And my answer is that Susan's kindergarten teacher wouldn't let her out for recess.
Not quite that.
But at any rate... you know, if you have the feeling that right now the world is sort of falling apart around you, and it's a legitimate feeling. I mean, there's craziness going on. There's real craziness. The United States walks out of Afghanistan, leaving nearly $10 billion worth of armaments for the Taliban. Involvement in Russia, waving sabers and issuing dire threats to the
at the same time
China.
That it says that the military's main goal is climate change and diversity.
Yes, exactly right. You know, the biggest problem facing the United States military is climate change. That's something that cheers up the Chinese. So, you know, you listen to all of the stuff if you're living in the United States of America, and If you're elsewhere, you know, if you're living in Germany, as I know one happy warrior specifically I'm thinking of, you're living in Germany and you watched Germany shut down its nuclear power stations and then Russia starts cutting back on natural gas to Germany.
Who would have thunk?
Who would have thought, right? And so Germany has labeled nuclear energy as now green energy. So guess what? They started up three new nuclear
power
stations. Well, you
know what? At least they're dealing with reality.
At least they're waking up to reality. So, you know, I mean, inflation and everything else, you think to yourself, things are falling apart. Well, that is exactly what Noah's flood is about. It's the world coming to an end.
And how to cope.
How do you build your ark? How do you make sure that you and your family and your business, how do we make sure that your orbit survives? And that's really what this is all about. And I'm going to put a link in the show description so that you can go and read more about it. It's an online course.
It's about 2 hours.
It's about 2 hours, and you can download a study guide and slides that will help you, regardless of the fact that I know you probably don't know Hebrew. Nonetheless, you are going to be able to treat the Hebrew words themselves as if they're made up of mathematical symbols, and you're going to be able to understand the deeper significance and deeper meaning that God placed into Scripture in those crucial chapters in Genesis describing the nature of the flood. So we'll do that. Susan, so we've done 3 out of 7. The first was, is the person you're with nice and kind and sweet and caring, or are they bullies? Number 2 was, can you be your authentic self with this person? And number 3 was, are your hopes and dreams and future goals being supported? And there are another 4, but I think if you don't mind, I'm thinking we'll do it on a separate show. We'll do the next 4.
I think that's fine.
Will you do it with me next week?
I will check my schedule, but yes, I'm sure I will.
Well, I'd like to think that your hopes and dreams and goals.
My goals for the week.
Yeah,
actually,
exactly.
No, I think we may be expecting company. So you have to do it before, earlier in the week for me to do it with you.
We're expecting company.
Shabbat,
what, next
company,
Shabbat?
Is it?
Really?
Anyway,
no,
we'll
I think it's
you think it's
later.
A week after?
At any rate. Happy Warriors. I hope that you enjoyed this as much as I enjoyed preparing it together with Mrs. Lappin, and that you are able to look forward to a week of exciting growth and fantastic progress in your 5Fs, in your family life, and in your friends, your friendship life, and in your fitness. And in your, did I say financial?
Faith.
Did I say financial?
I think you said financial.
And in your
friendships, I believe, maybe.
Well, family and friendships, fitness and faith and finances. Yes. People write in and they get amused when I stumble over some
you
of
know,
the five
F's. You know, there's so many words that start with F.
Frantic, feverish. Yes.
Frenzied.
Yeah, frenzied, fanatical. Yeah, right.
So you... Yes, all right. It's hard to limit it to the five.
Until next week, you happy warriors. I'm thinking of you. God bless.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.